I'm Alan Walker, and in this brilliant episode of the People Podcast, my co-host Jeremy Russon spoke to the founder of Bento HR, Matt Burns. Putting the confusion as to who was the host aside, Matt, it was definitely Jeremy you were chatting to. They had a fantastic conversation about digital transformation. They talked about how digital will define business success, and how any future work transformation should be looked on as an ongoing, iterative process, not a moment-in-time project. Top-notch stuff from a true HR leader. Enjoy!
Please take your seats. This evening's performance is about to begin.
Good afternoon and welcome to another episode of the Chat Talent People podcast. We aim in these podcasts to educate and to introduce interesting concepts and people. And I think we're going to deliver on that one today. The concept of digital transformation seems to have been around as long as the dinosaurs. I certainly was helping out on recruitment for digital transformation back in 2010, 2011, and certainly there was organisations doing it before then. It kind of found its way into HR indirectly, I think, and it's still been around a long time there. And whether we're doing it well or not is a question we're going to put to someone who I think is probably an expert on these things, and that's Matt Burns from Bento HR. Good afternoon, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
Yeah, good, good. Yeah, not too bad. Enjoying the sunshine. So, yes. Matt, I think rather than me try and explain you, it's probably easiest if you do that. Do you just want to give us a quick introduction to yourself and what it is you do with Bento and indeed a whole number of organizations that you're linked to?
Sure, happy to. So my name is Matt Burns. I'm the founder and chief innovation officer at Bento HR. Before that, I was a corporate executive for close to 20 years, Alan. 15 of those years I spent in the human resources profession, and the last five as an executive in large global organizations. And in that time, I got a really nice view to this topic, digital transformation. And at that time, a lot of organizations, as they did until very recently, still view digital transformation as an event, as an activity, as a project. And over the course of my career, we were able to prove that actually it's a continuous part of any evolving strategy, any evolving organization and its culture, and that ultimately organizations should be striving for some symbiosis, if you will, between the technology and the people in their organizations, if nothing else, that to increase performance and enhance the employee experience. Since that time, we've been working at Bento HR to do that. We simplify digital transformation for organizations around the world. That looks like a few different things, but I'll spare you the details. Only to say is we're helping make people's lives easier when it comes to using technology and data in HR. On top of that, I'm very fortunate to coach a couple of other clients in a strategic context. I have a podcast, which has been just an awesome experience, both creatively and personally. And then also find my way into a few projects and companies, try helping people. All really in service to making workplaces a bit more human.
Excellent, excellent. So yeah, you're right. The word transformation is probably the wrong word for where we should be with this by now, do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I think, again, transformation indicates to me it's an event, and it also conveys a sense of, like, it gives you a sense of gravity. And I think that at this point in time is a context that people need to look past and realize that we have to, as organizations, continue to adopt and integrate technology and data into our practices because it's the right thing to do for the business and it's the right thing to do for your employees. Mm. So let me give you an example, Alan. I mean, I think when I talk digital transformation, people think, Wow, we have new predictive analytics and AI and robotics. It could be as simple as eliminating the manual, repetitive processes that tie up resources that are finite in most organizations, and giving that to a technology to track and nudge and work with, and then redeploying those resources to functions where they actually do add value as humans, relationships, strategic, brainstorming. That's a common thing that we're seeing organizations do, is just better fit the task for the individuals performing it, whether it is a computer or an
individual. Yeah. And we see a lot of companies still in the world of work the world we operate in who are still using things like Excel and saying it's digital. What's the difference between, say, a person using Excel and a person using a complex or professional HRIS or ATS system to deliver their work? What would you say is main difference if people were claiming to be digital when they're using Excel?
Well, I think, first off, I empathize with those who have spreadsheets. I know looking back on my HR career, I spent the majority of my time behind an Excel spreadsheet in one way, shape, or form. So I understand how people have gotten there. I think the biggest difference is that the amount of capabilities that you have with a HRS, and it doesn't need to be robust now. The great thing, Alan, is that we have light, nimble solutions in the market now that are right-sized for even some of the smallest organizations that help you do things like track anniversaries, track licenses, certifications, handle the coordination between manager, human resources, and the employee. It really enables and provides a level of visibility and access that traditionally was kind of behind a wall within HR. I mean, I think of the old days when I started, Alan, where if you wanted to see your personnel file, you had to make an appointment, and then I would sit next to you while we went through the papers and your paper-based file. And nowadays, employees can have access to their files whenever they want, and they can access information, and managers and them can engage in that dialogue. It really democratizes access to the employment relationship between the manager and the employee. And to me, that's just the path we're going, and it's the path we need to get to very quickly.
And some of that is obviously driven by legislation, but actually the real driver behind digital transformation, or call it that if you want, should be that enhanced relationship between the employer and the employee.
Yeah, and I'll also say I'm not naive to the fact that cost also drives the digital transformation conversation in a lot of organizations. You know, Alan, before all this, most organizations had systemically underfunded their workplace infrastructure because the risks that we're talking about now in this pandemic time that we're living in were just simply the boogeyman in 6 months ago. And there wasn't a real impetus or a burning desire to invest a bunch of capital into systems that, again, at the time, weren't seen as essential. But today, as an organization, you have to have the ability to transition your workforce from a virtual setting into a physical setting and potentially do so relatively quickly over quick succession. I don't know about what you're hearing, Alan, in your part of the world, but what we're hearing here in Canada is that there could be additional waves of this pandemic that require additional social distancing and locking down of workforces. So our employers here are thinking a lot about how do we make sure we don't lose momentum and we continue our business as usual when those circumstances change. You can't do that without technology. So if nothing else, the investments are being made to ensure business continuity and, frankly, and I don't want to sound too dour, but survivability in this new era. It's a very, you know, flux state that we're in right now, and organizations are trying to figure out how best they can respond in a very uncertain time.
Yeah, and I think there is a positive that is going to come out of what the world is going through at the moment. It is the understanding that there's a lot more jobs that can be done remotely, and I use the word remotely rather than at home, because I think they're two very different things. And that's a big thing in terms of the use of digital tools to allow companies to do that. So it's not just really about pandemic, it's about survival in industry and attracting the best talent,
which is a completely new concept for the majority of organizations that you talk to that traditionally have thought about recruitment in the context of the geographic area in which their offices are located. So now when you're looking at a global employment marketplace and you're thinking about the work in terms of skill sets, and now physical proximity is no longer the driving force behind it, it really opens up a lot of options. And one thing I've been encouraging HR leaders and business leaders more broadly to consider is, what's the design of your organization going to be going forward? Do you need to have as much consistent, full-time, permanent resources in your organization? Or do you be better served to have a more nimble team, maybe project-based teams that you can accordion up, accordion down, based on various needs of the business? Because I think, again, in the traditional model, the model I grew up in, the goal was to have large organizations to achieve economies of scale. That's changed. Now it's about speed and agility. So you want to be small and nimble and agile. Carrying a bunch of bureaucracy and headcounts and five layers of management will do you a disservice in today's reality. So I think it's about, again, using technology as the conduit between the strategy and the humans in the organization and the enabler of that strategy. That really allows us to move much more faster, be much more innovative, and then ultimately what I'm satisfied with, which is to produce and to give work to people and organizations that they can be happy performing.
Mm-hmm. And I guess the world of technology has actually given us some sort of guide into how we could use those sorts of processes and tools with concepts such as agile and things like that. Do you think we could take a lot from our brothers and sisters, if you like, in the technology world?
Absolutely. And I think one thing about the HR profession that I'll be transparent about, I mean, I remember when I first started in HR, there was a level of conversation and narrative that anything technology related was IT's responsibility. HR shouldn't get involved. We manage the human experience. IT handles the tools. Well, that's clearly evolved in its thinking. And we need to be thinking about our own practices, our own HR day-to-day operations, and using technology as a lens in which we view that. I'll give you three examples. So if I'm buying technology, say, on the marketplace, I want to make sure I'm looking for solutions that have open APIs. So I'll explain that quickly. Yep. An open API, very, very, very simply, is a system that allows two technologies, two softwares, to connect together seamlessly. And what that does for the end user is it prevents having to do duplicate data entry. It ensures that everything is seamless. The information flows from one system to another and allows cohesion of your data, consistency, accuracy, et cetera. Asking about open APIs is critical because if you buy a solution or have a solution that doesn't have open APIs, you're going to have to run information in two different places, which, as you can appreciate, is not very efficient. So open API is something I always ask about. I'm not a technologist, but when I'm buying technology, I want to make sure that what I'm doing is in service to the broader organizational goals and that I'm making my life easier looking beyond just features. The second thing I'm looking for is single sign-on. Single sign-on is IT's equivalent of the time off request in HR. Nobody in IT joined that profession to do password resets. Single sign-on allows you to log into your solution one time, whether you're using G Suite, Office 365, you log into your password into the system, and then you have access to a number of tools, including some HR technologies that will give you specific access based on your user profile. Single sign-on makes it easy as a user to transition back and forth without having to put in passwords and usernames every time you go into a new system. And then the last thing, which I think is more obvious now, is do you have your technologies on-premise or do you have them in the cloud? Now, there are some privacy considerations, especially in Western Europe, that we have to be mindful of. But generally speaking, you're always better served to have the information in the cloud because it, again, provides a lot more adaptability and agility for a workplace that is more global. So I say that because those are traditionally questions that you would ask if you are in IT. But I'm an HR professional asking these questions when I'm buying HR technology because it's part of my responsibility now to understand what's happening in that profession. I would say, by the way, it's equally our responsibility to understand what's happening in the finance parts of the business. So getting close with the CFO, there's a natural tension between finance and HR that needs to exist, but there also needs to be a mutual respect. And I also believe, and this is a different conversation for a different day, there's a lot to be learned from marketing. Marketing and HR, to me, is the same profession. It's inside voice, outside voice. We should be leveraging them for things like recruitment, employment branding, segmentation. You know, we have a lot of people in our organization that have a lot of great expertise. We just need to come out from our own profession, come out from the silo, and learn from those professionals so they in turn can learn from us.
I think the marketing piece is really interesting because if you think of your candidate base in recruitment or your employee base or your alumni base, that's a business to consumer marketplace.
Yeah, I'm very bullish on this. I mean, my story, Alan, is kind of unique in that. It's not unique in that I didn't think I was going to end up at human resources, but it is unique in that I was staring at two job postings one day on a job posting board. One was for HR and one was for marketing. And I'll be honest, I applied for both and really wanted the marketing job, but the HR job called back. And here we are 20 years later, and I've had a chance to go through a career that I'm really happy of and proud of. But I'll be honest, I always applied a bit of a marketing lens to what I did because I understood that there was value in conveying messaging in an internal employee base in the same way there would be in an external marketplace. So I see a couple different synergies between the two professions that I think, again, if you just take away the lens of is it inside voice or outside voice, marketing and HR are both tasked with what I think is probably the most difficult challenge in organizations, which is they have to influence an action or a behavior without any authority. So HR has to walk around and administer company programs, hold the line on policies, you know, encourage and coach and counsel managers at all levels of the organization. But in most cases, they don't have that proverbial stick with which they can wield and say, you must do this. Marketing is the same way. They can't go to the market and say, you must buy our product. They have to produce content and, you know, deliver it in a way that is, you know, accessible to a multitude of audiences. They have to segment their audiences and deliver messaging specific to them. HR is exactly the same way. We have to convey those behaviors. Now, I mentioned segmentation because that's an area where we can learn from marketing. Marketing's been doing this for generations. They figure out who their target customers are, and then they curate and deliver specific messages to those customers in order to convey and core compel an action. Traditionally, HR hasn't employed that. We've relied on company newsletters and mass emails and thought that just sending that was enough. Well, now we're coming to realize that we're actually fighting for attention in the same way that our marketing partners are in the external marketplace. You have to develop content internally as across multiple mediums, whether that's a podcast, or video, that transcends the traditional mechanisms. Because if people aren't paying attention, your message isn't getting across. And if your message isn't getting across, you do not have alignment in your organization. And ultimately, it's I believe, the organization's responsibility to convey that to the employee. The employee has an obligation to receive that and pull that information. But if it's not available, they can't pull up there. So I think that's an interesting conversation. And then lastly, I think that when it comes to the methods of communication, that is a whole different conversation. If I was a marketing agent and I said to you, hey, my strategy to grow your business, Alan, was to staple a whole bunch of flyers around telephone poles around the city of London. That's my marketing strategy for you. You would say, get out of my office. But we have too many organizations where that exactly is a strategy. We produce a poster, it goes up on a bulletin board in a physical work location, and we've communicated with our employees. So I think we need to, again, look outside of our own profession for best practices and leverage the expertise around us. We have a lot to learn from other folks, and they have a lot to learn from us. But I've always found that by showing vulnerability and being curious about the people that I work with, that really reduces any type of concern or resistance or walls. And then it's naturally an opportunity for me to reciprocate and teach them more about the cultural parts of the business that are essential to its success.
Yeah. Do you think we in HR talk enough about the impact of HR transformation or the impact that HR transformation can have on the business in business terms?
No, that's an easy question. No, we don't, because we have a tough time as a profession building business cases, in my experience. And I'm always surprised by this, Alan, because like you, I'm speaking with CHROs, HR executives, and Fortune 1000 companies. And for some reason, endemically, we have this issue in developing compelling business cases that include both qualitative and quantitative measures of success. And I'm very fortunate in that when I worked in the corporate world, I worked for a number of organizations that, I'll be polite, were frugal. So I never had the privilege of being able to build a business case on upside. I always had to show a corresponding decrease in actual costs, whether they be wages or overheads, to fund any of the initiatives that I wanted to put forward. So at the time, I felt that was really unfair. But looking back, I go, that was a great skill to learn. The constraint of having to self-fund our own innovation really encouraged us to look a bit deeper for the areas of opportunity we had, and there always were areas of opportunity that we could use, to really be passionate about introducing engagement or diversity or succession programs into the organization. So we apply the same methodology now at Bento HR when we help organizations think through their problems. A lot of times I'll hear, well, we don't have the resources or don't have the money, Matt, to do these things. I'll be honest, I've never come across a situation where that was the case. Every time I go into an organization and do an analysis, I find opportunities for savings, whether it's things like regrettable attrition, whether it's compensation misalignment between bonuses and salary, whether it's unnecessary layers within the HR profession or roles that are redundant with technology. There's always an opportunity to be more efficient and to do things better. And just for those folks who are concerned that that means that HR isn't as effective, I can assure you that it's actually not. When we start to professionalize our operation within HR, we actually build credibility within the organization, and we actually build a foundation in which we can layer on top of all these programs that traditionally HR professionals love: diversity and inclusion, succession, engagement. But we do so on a solid foundation that we can measure and quantify and build business cases against. I learned very early on in my career that if I couldn't give a measurement of the problem and then track the solution through to completion, I was going to have a tough time showing the efficacy of my efforts. So now everything that we do, whether it's internally at Bento HR or externally with a customer, measurement is a key part of that strategy so that people understand this is the fruits of your labor. And what it actually does, Alan, is it builds a lot of momentum internally and accelerates the digital transformation, because people go, wow, we can actually do this while we're running our business and we're saving money and the employee experience is getting better. We didn't think this was possible. It is, with the right intention.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I guess one of the, so that's one of the skills that we as a, an organization or as a sector, i.e. HR, need to learn is that ability to build the business case. We were talking on a separate call earlier this morning about general sort of skills that are needed in the future. And one of the things we said is it's probably the biggest skill is the ability to learn. Do you think that's the same for HR?
I completely agree. We're at a very interesting phase right now. And we're going to go through a major transformation individually, in small teams, organizationally. I look back at 2008, which wasn't too long ago, and that global economic crisis saw the loss of 30% of the companies in the Fortune 1000. They no longer exist. I think we can expect something similar on the other end of this, and we're going to see the massive acceleration of a bunch of consumer-driven activities and behaviors. You know, Alan, this is actually an interesting stat that I learned the other day. In the United States, recently there was a survey done on working from home, and the general narrative in the marketplace is such that, you know, people are going to want to work from home when this is finished, that working from home is seen as a perk, and that we're now going to accelerate the path of everyone's going to be virtual. Well, in this study that was done recently, they actually found that there were more people interested in ordering groceries to home than they actually were in working from home going forward. Yeah. And that the number really hasn't changed pre and post pandemic, which I think makes sense when you consider the fact that most of us didn't have home offices that were oriented for this type of work, and we're stuck in our houses with multiple generations and tight spaces. So it really isn't a great experience. But I think it's important to show that as we're looking at the future, what's actually going to drive the changes in the workplace is consumer behavior, because the businesses will respond to that behavior out of necessity. And to me, the HR profession is part of that. We have to have a broader understanding of what's happening with macroeconomics. And I know that there are folks that this is probably a new concept for, but I think it's essential. HR needs to have an understanding of where the organization sits within its local economy, its regional economy, its global economy. It needs to have an understanding of how the HR strategy is different if you're in a recessionary phase or in a rapid acceleration phase. And some of these things are obvious, Alan, but the amount of HR people that I talk to who build the same strategy at every stop that they go, and they're not thinking about what's happening outside the four walls of their organization, it's really risky nowadays. You need to have that external lens. And part of that is learning, the ability to go out to the market, synthesize information, go to the right sources, you know, podcasts like this, to gather the information that you need to inform your strategy. I think the big change now is that strategy is never done. When I started, you could build a 3-year plan, a 5-year plan. You'd look at it once a year. It was great. Now it's a working document. It's the proverbial Google Doc. It's changing every day. It's evolving every day. You have your directional strategy, but the tactics are no longer as defined. For some people, that's really liberating. For some people, that's terrifying. Yeah. So it's trying to find that tension, and HR needs to have a line of sight to that if we're going to be able to support our organizations in whatever circumstance they find themselves.
Yeah, I think that's a really nice point to end on, that really what we're saying there is that whilst people are working from home, actually it's not people's choice. There's a lot of people who, for different reasons, want that differential between home and work. And actually what we should be looking at is how we can enable people to work more flexibly. And that is really the basis of why we should be doing or driving digital transformation through HR.
There's three reasons, and you've hit one of them. The first reason that you've mentioned, which I think is critical, is the flexibility of virtual and physical spaces. Organizations now need that. They have to have it to survive in a world where you may have your offices closed with very little notice and you have to keep your business operating. We can't have what happened in the spring of 2020. We can't shut down the global economy for weeks on end again. It causes too much second and third degree effects. And unfortunately, Alan, disproportionately impacts those who are most vulnerable. So that's one conversation. We as organizations have a broader, obligation to society to keep operating. Number two is it's a cost conversation. And unfortunately, I think it's realistic to say that the majority of organizations today are looking for areas of efficiency and to reduce their overhead so they can be nimble and agile on a future-facing basis. So digital transformation helps you achieve that. And last but not least, and you hit on this, which I think is the critical point for me, it creates a more human experience. Going into this, we knew the model that we were operating in didn't make sense anymore. It was far too exploitative. People were burning the candle at both ends. Mental illnesses were rising. Engagement was dropping. We saw the macroeconomic signs of the economic model we had built for ourselves in the majority of organizations. We have to do things differently going forward, or we're not going to have success. And that means flattening decision-making. It means symbiosis with technology. And it, frankly, Alan, it means just taking a step back and asking ourselves, what's in service to the people around us? The amount of times I've been able to talk to people and really get beyond the corporate lens, if you will, and get to how people are actually doing, I've really appreciated the vulnerability of people I've talked to over the last 12 weeks. I hope we don't lose that. And I hope we can use digital transformation to accelerate this path towards more human-centric workplaces. We deserve it.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And that is a really nice way to end the conversation with you. Matt, it's been a really interesting conversation. I'm sure that the audience will have picked up some really great tips. Definitely would be great to pick up with you on the relationships between HR and other parts of the business on a separate call. We'll reach out and set that up. But brilliant. Thanks very much for your time today. And let you go and enjoy your rest of your Friday before the weekend.
Thank you, sir. And be well.
And you too. Thanks very much, Matt. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. Head over to chattalent.com for more blogs, vlogs, webinars, and other great content about HR, talent, and recruiting. Everything you could possibly need. Enjoy.